Here are a few quick tips from Chad, children and adults with ADHD. Trouble sleeping? Adults can benefit from establishing a bedtime routine. Before going to bed, make a to-do list of things for the next day so that you don't forget the things you need to do the next day. And practice relaxation techniques before bed. Quick tips are brought to you by Chad, children and adults with ADHD. Get more tips on chad.org. Visit, join, get involved.
Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, your ADHD information station where we help those with ADHD pay attention to attention, with your host, ADHD and attention coach, Jeff Topper.
All right, everybody. Welcome to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, ADHD and attention coach, Jeff Copper. We've got a great show for you tonight, the diagnostic confusion around ADHD and bipolar. And let me tell you, this is just a really confusing topic. The reason it's a confusing topic is we actually we interviewed Dr. Roberto Olivardia, who's with us in our virtual studio several months ago. And we did two shows. One was the diagnostic confusion and the second was how to treat. And we had originally meant for this one to go first and the other one to go second. And so there was a lot of confusion and we got it wrong. But the good news about Attention Talk Radio is, as I'm told, we have evergreen content, which means it's out there for a long period of time. So you can listen to this. I mean, if you're catching this first time, and I will refer you back to Google Attention Talk Radio and Bipolar, and you'll catch Dr. Roberto Olivardia and our follow up to this particular interview. Real quickly, tonight is June the 15th in the year 2016 at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you haven't figured out, this interview was actually pre-recorded with Dr. Roberto Olivardia, who's actually one of our most favorite guests. We have a couple of them. The reason we like them so much is that, number one, they're very, very insightful. They're very good. They get to specificity. They pay attention to attention, which is what we're all about. And I always learn something brand new. And so the best thing about being a host of Attention Talk Radio is this is my form of research. So we got a great interview coming up, but real quickly, we need to get to a couple announcements. The big one is the 2016 Annual International Conference on ADHD, the CHAD Conference. That's Children and Adults with Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder, is in November, the 10th through the 12th in Mesa, California. Oh my God, I'm trying to think back. I think my first one was in Cleveland back in 2008, and I've been to every one every year since. They have great content. Of course, we have great content, and much of our content that we bring to you is content from Chad. But that's not the important part. What you don't realize is that the real power is actually to go to these conferences, and what you learn is when you're talking to the speakers afterwards, you're going to lunch, you're meeting with other people with ADHD and other professionals. And I do say is if you go to these things, you can literally walk up to Dr. Olivardia and he will stay with you pretty much as long as you're going to ask some questions, as does Dr. Barclay or Dr. Hallowell or I'm having a brain fart. Any other of the professionals that are there. So go check that out. Also, been doing this for a long time, got over 450 interviews between Attention Talk Radio and Attention Talk Video with over 210 hours of programming, which is really overwhelming for me and really anybody else who has ADHD. So I've actually kind of compiled my top 10 favorite words, which there's actually a bonus. So there's another 10, so there's really 20. If you want to check that out, go to attentiontalkradio.com/ATR. If you want the video version, go to attentiontalkradio.com/ATV. That's a slash forward. Dr. Barclay's asked me to promote ADDfund.com, which is a crowdsourcing website to raise money or for small scale research worldwide, which is really important. And to give you an idea, what happens is there's some research that's funded by entities that are trying to prove something, but there's other research that's being done that it's kind of like it's escaping me. There's chondroitin and something or other, which is like shark cartilage or something that's really good for your bones, but it's been generic for forever and nobody's funding it. And so nobody's ever proved it, although even the experts actually think there's something to it. This money that they're raising goes to stuff like that to really prove stuff that nobody else is really going to fund so that we're actually all educated. So if you got $5, if you got $10, if you got $1, if you got $1 million, please go there and check it out. So that's all the announcements. We've got everything. Let's get into the show. Now, I have to tell you, before I get into this, I find this actually very fascinating because ADHD and bipolar can actually present very similarly. You can have them individually and you can have them collectively. In my practice over the years, it's always been a challenge because when you run into this, there's not a lot of people who really understand the space, and Dr. Arlo Vadia does. I think if you listen to this interview, you're going to walk away with some amazing insight and some specificity as to what's kind of going on. So let's roll the tape. If you're at home, grab some popcorn or whatever, relax and enjoy the show.
Dr. Roberto Olivardia is a clinical instructor of psychology at the Harvard Medical School. He maintains a private psychotherapy practice in Lexington, Massachusetts, where he specializes in the treatment of attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, body dysmorphic disorder, and obsessive compulsive disorder. He also specializes in the treatment of eating disorders in boys and men. He's presented at many talks and conferences around the country, including CHAD, ADA, which is the Attention Deficit Disorder Association, annually, and he sits on the Scientific Advisory Board of Attitude Magazine and Professional Advisory Board of CHAD, which stands for Children and Adults with Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder. And with that, Dr. Olivardia, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you for having me, as always, Jeff.
No, actually, I should be thanking you, because it's Jeff Copper gets his own private tutored lesson for free. Every time I bring you on, it's like I'm having ahas out the wazoo every time I do this, and I'm thrilled about tonight because our topic tonight is really the diagnostic confusion around ADHD and bipolar disorder. I'm going to do things a little bit differently tonight because I've actually heard you talk on this a little bit, and it's so profoundly different from when I first started coaching, I think like 10 years ago, and I'm just going to walk through this stuff and see if I got to get this correct. And I had originally had understood that you can't have bipolar and ADHD at the same time, but that's not the case, correct?
Correct, absolutely. In fact, not only can you have both disorders, but they're highly comorbid. So anywhere from studies show that anywhere from 50 to upwards of 70 to 80% of people with bipolar disorder have ADHD, and about 20% of people with ADHD have bipolar disorder. So in my opinion, anytime one has one, there's enough of comorbidity there that the other should always be assessed in that way.
Now, so that's a great point that you have, but I want to kind of talk about, like, ADHD, how does it present, and how does bipolar present in a similar way? Like, how, because I think there's some diagnostic confusion out there, which is what our focus is, because a lot of times I think people get misdiagnosed with one or the other when it could be both. So what are the typical symptoms that they have in common?
Sure. So one of the things is just in general, I would say that bipolar disorder is actually very misunderstood in the ways that ADHD can be very misunderstood. Most people's conception of bipolar illness is what is referred to as bipolar 1 disorder, which is typically what you would see in TV movies or in cinematic versions, the person who might be very depressed and then have a week where they're in this manic high and they're spending lots of money and they feel great. That is just one segment of the bipolar population. In fact, many people who have either bipolar 2, which presents very differently, or just have these sort of mood dysregulation, what we would call it kind of on the bipolar spectrum disorders, are much, much harder to diagnose. In fact, studies show that it can take up to 17 years for someone to be adequately diagnosed with bipolar disorder. Now, that overlap of ADHD and bipolar, it's very understandable why they can often be confused with each other. So what they have in common is symptoms of impulsivity, symptoms of irritability, hyperactivity. You see emotional dysregulation in both people with ADHD as well as bipolar illness, problems with sleep, people who are very hyperverbal, almost in a very pressured way, interrupting people, talking very fast, talking about racing thoughts, issues with attention, and sort of an increase in what we call goal-directed activity. Now, in ADHD, we call it the hyperfocus. In bipolar disorder, it's called the sort of hypomania or kind of manic episode. But each of those symptoms, although they might present in that way, the mechanism or the sort of what's behind it is very different between the two disorders. So just because you see a behavior, it's important to assess what's motivating that behavior, how in control a person is in that behavior, whether there's a context to that behavior, and all of those questions start to decipher that diagnostic conundrum between ADHD and bipolar disorder.
But the bipolar is and this I don't know. This is a real question. Is the diagnosis really based on behavioral symptoms, much like ADHD has been historically?
For the most part, yes. That it is, you have sort of your depressive symptoms, which would be the persistent sad or irritable mood. People who have a loss of interest in activities that they previously enjoyed, significant change in appetite or body weight, either gaining a lot of weight or losing a lot of weight very quickly, sleeping too much or too little, fatigue, feelings of worthlessness, difficulty concentrating, or thoughts of suicide. And by manic or hypomanic symptoms, these are characterized by very severe changes in mood, either people who can be overly silly and elated, which is what you will often see, again, in cinematic versions of bipolar disorder. But also a mania can be someone who's feeling extremely irritable. And when I say that, I can't emphasize enough. I mean, when I have patients who are in these states, they literally feel like they just want to rip their skin off and just jump out of their bodies. Like there's just this extreme sense of irritability that they feel, an increased sort of revved up energy. You'll often see these sort of sometimes issues of grandiosity and narcissism, feeling like they're the best at things or they're superior. Sometimes it can get quite psychotic, thinking that they're Jesus Christ or that they're a disciple or prophets and things like that. A real decreased need for sleep, but these aren't individuals who, like, unlike people with ADD who might be up really late because they're watching YouTube or they're engaged in something that's really fun and stimulating and they don't feel tired. With a manic manic symptoms, these are individuals that they have no control over it. There's no context. There's nothing that's keeping them up except it's coming from the internal out. And that's sort of one way I always characterize the difference between ADHD and bipolar is that ADHD is driven from sort of the outside in, you know, that people with ADHD are so stimulated by what's going on externally. And with bipolar disorder, all these symptoms are happening more internally. Increased talking too fast, random distractibility. You see in mania or hypomania, hypersexuality, people who will do very sexually impulsive things that they normally wouldn't do, and often sometimes have a disregard of risk or can engage in very risky behaviors or illegal activities that, again, when they're not in a mania or hypomania, they wouldn't be doing. So these are all marked differences from how these people would be when they're not in a manic or hypomanic episode. So in terms of diagnosis, it is often very behavioral, but really, again, fine-tuning, you know, is this anxiety? Is this ADHD? Is this bipolar disorder? And really being very cognizant of all that. But with bipolar disorder, one of the biggest, obviously the biggest risk factor is suicide. About half of people, 50% of people with bipolar illness attempt suicide. It has a very, very high suicide rate. And that's often one of those hallmark indicators that this is more than ADHD or more than anxiety when people have very recurrent thoughts of suicide.
So actually I'm looking at the time. I tell you what, because I want to focus on this. Let's go to break real quick so I don't get interrupted in the middle of it. Real quickly, anybody out there, if you're curious and you want to learn more, Roberto can be reached at his email address, which is Roberto, R-O-B-E-R-T-O, underscore Olivardia, O-L-I-V-A-R-D-I-A, at hms.harvard.edu. Now, that was a mouthful, so did I get it right, Dr. Olivardia?
You sure did.
All right, we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an EDGE Foundation coach, specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function challenge make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more or call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE to get your free college success guide.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
If you think you understand attention so well, then why are you struggling so much with it? Attention is as simple as it is complex to understand. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. It's grossly misunderstood. Consider this. Focus on the wrong thing, get the wrong solution. In our new ebook, we'll share 5 key tips and insights on managing ADHD learned from conducting more than 300 interviews with attention experts. Download our ebook today at attentiontalknetwork.com and start understanding and managing your attention today.
And now back to...
Welcome back, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm here with one of my favorite individuals in the world to interview, Dr. Roberto Olivardia. We're having a great conversation about ADHD and bipolar. And before the break, Roberto, you did a great job educating us and kind of framing some things out. But one of the things that I've learned from you and you did before the break is you did such a great job at articulating kind of the bipolar side about being more inside out and out and ADD being more outside in. And one of the things that I always focus on Attention Talk Radio is we want to pay attention to attention. And if a person is looking at the symptoms of both diagnoses, and you talked about what they have in common, irritability, impulsivity, hyperactivity, sleep issues, hyperverbal, if you just look at those behavioral symptoms, it's easy to get this stuff confused unless you know what to pay attention to on the backside, like what's driving this bus a little bit. And that internal, like they want to rip their skin off, to me is a frame of mind that you would sit and you would kind of go through to say, hey, listen, this is how I've got to decipher if it's one or the other, and maybe even get an indication of both. And to be fair, I'd like you to comment on this in a second, Dr. Olivari, is when you look at a mental health professional that's working with maybe ADHD and OCD and across the board, this is excluding like the general practitioners that will get into some of this, if you're not schooled in this and you don't know what to look for, it's easy to get confused. Because as a physician, you've got your business and you've got your patients and you've got all this stuff and the literature is changing, so it's kind of hard to keep up with. And what I wanted to bring you on the show is because if you don't really focus on the differences, it's easy to commingle these and get them confused. But if you understand what's driving it behind it and you ask the right questions, you can begin to ferret out and see some of that stuff. So you just want to kind of comment on it that. In general, as it presents itself, if you're not really schooled in it, how you could miss it and the difficulty of being like being all God knowing and doing this stuff. So just thoughts on that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I couldn't have said it better myself. I mean, the importance of really understanding this is crucial. And, you know, I do a lot of consultations for people where this is the question, you know, is this ADHD? Is this bipolar? Is it both? And it's amazing to me when I've worked with people or done consultations how they have been misdiagnosed, you know, in the past. Or, you know, I was working with someone some years back who, you know, read about ADHD, the different types of ADHD, which, you know, scientifically I'm not sort of on board with, but this idea that kind of different different types of ADHD, and one of them is this sort of impulsive or angry kind of ADHD, and this person read that and thought, okay, well, maybe I just have this kind of ADHD. And first of all, that's not even scientifically validated, but secondly, when I assessed him, he had a raging bipolar disorder. He also had ADHD, but I said, no, you don't have this quote-unquote ADD, whatever it was called in that particular book, type. You have ADHD and bipolar disorder, which is, very different than having just an angry form of ADHD. Bipolar disorder is a serious, serious mental illness. I mean, it, again, probably the highest suicide rate, and suicide, even the attempts are often quite very lethal in because when people are often attempting suicide, they're not in a very frame of mind, in which they're sort of understanding. Mm-hmm. But in addition to that, bipolar disorder, untreated bipolar disorder, is highly associated with divorce, unemployment, substance abuse. Many, many of my patients with bipolar disorder have had a history of drug addiction or alcohol addiction, because mm-hmm. when you experience these symptoms, the quelling of those symptoms feels so urgent that drugs, alcohol become very accessible sort of substances. So it's a disorder that really wreaks havoc. So it is extremely important to fine tune and understand, when we're talking about sleep problems, are we talking about somebody who, let's say, is so stimulated because they're texting their friend and therefore their connection to their body being tired is sort of disconnected, which we see in people with ADHD all the time, versus when my patients are in the throes of a manic episode, they're in bed trying to fall asleep. They can't. They feel literally like somebody is electrocuting their body and they mm-hmm. want to sleep, but they can't. Like, they feel mm-hmm. like it's almost as if somebody is prying their eyes open. These are the things I hear from my patients. That's a very different experience than the sleep issues that people with ADHD have.
Yep.
When you're talking about racing thoughts, those of us with ADHD can often say, yes, my thoughts go very quickly, but I'm in control of those thoughts. Like when I'm not somebody who typically will have one thought in my head at any given moment. I might have two or three thoughts and they go fast, but I'm aware of them. Like I'm processing things in a very quick way, and it doesn't cognitively confuse me or flummox me. For people who are in this sort of hypomanic, they feel like the thoughts are so fast, they don't even have a sense of what they're even thinking. Like it almost feels like a car that is racing so fast past them that they don't even know what the color of the car is, which is very different than having sort of very vivid kind of concrete thoughts. And again, the impulsivity in these things, these are things that are not characterized by how a person ordinarily is. With ADHD, it's not like you have ADHD days and non-ADHD days. You're always ADHD.
Yep, yep.
People with ADHD will struggle with impulsivity when a certain trigger situation might present itself. So, I work with lots of people with ADHD and eating disorders and binge eating disorders. So when my ADD patients go to a buffet, that's always a very, very big trigger for them to impulsively eat. Now, with bipolar illness, you can have somebody who, when they're not in a depressive or manic episode, could be in a situation and be totally and completely fine with it. They could go to a bar, let's say, and have one drink and socialize and be fine. But when they're in a hypomanic or manic episode, it's almost like they're a different person. Their whole frame of mind is different.
Yep.
So they're going to go and they're going to have 20 drinks and they're going to completely get hammered and they're going to completely cause havoc. They might pick a fight. They might do, I have patients who sometimes they get called by the town police department because my patient, was threatening people or is committing. And these are people that wouldn't do that on a normal basis, it's literally like something is sort of driving them. And these are again, those big differences, between that and really understanding the difference, because the stakes are so high. They're very, very high.
So
I'm going to lay this one on you because we haven't actually talked about this, but I'm just kind of in listening to you. And earlier in this interview, you had said sometimes it takes up to 17 years or even sometimes longer to diagnose those with bipolar. And the last
right.
time I think we talked about this, or even I saw your presentation in New Orleans at the CHAD conference, it's kind of like what I took from it, and again, everybody, this is not science. This is just my lens of how I do it, is that you can have a bipolar, but it's almost like it lies dormant, and it hangs out, and it might never surface, but there's like a trigger in life that sometimes will bring it to the forefront, and that trigger tends to be some change of life, like going from high school to college or graduating from college. And what I took from your presentation is that sometimes is that first episode where it really comes out is in that transition of life. And I want you to comment on this, because if ADHD begins to present itself at a much younger age, so it'd be easy to diagnose a 12-year-old with ADHD. They might also have bipolar, but you can't tell it yet until maybe they go off to college or get out of college when that trigger happens. And since they've been diagnosed with ADHD for so long, does that actually mask the bipolar? So just comment on my comments, and is that accurate, or thoughts?
Absolutely. No, that's very, very true. So with ADHD, I mean, you see symptoms at birth, basically. I mean, parents can retrospectively report that their ADHD children compared to their non-ADHD children, probably had more issues with sleep, might have been more likely to be colicky or have ear infections, or the kids that couldn't sit at circle time. So, I mean, you see it, you know, at a very young age. With bipolar illness, you're right. I mean, it doesn't always present itself in that way. I mean, you can have – I've worked with people who their parents will say as children were happy, stable in terms of their mood, you know, might have had some issues with transition, and then something sort of started to change, you know, in adolescence and sort of late adolescence. And with bipolar disorder, the age of onset for someone without ADHD is typically in the early to mid-20s. And so with someone with ADHD, it will often present earlier. So having ADHD is more likely to sort of bring out the bipolar, if someone also has bipolar disorder, is going to bring it out quicker. But to your point is typically what you'll see, the first major depressive episode or the first major manic or hypomanic episode most of my patients have been centered around, like you said, a major life transition. So going from high school to college, a death in the family, parental divorce, a relationship breakup. Like, it's usually something very big and monumental in that person's life that they just, it's almost as if the water just spills over in the cup and they just cannot cope. Now, one of the dangers and the importance of adequately diagnosing and adequately treating bipolar, which I know we'll talk about at a later time, the importance is that there is a phenomenon, it's a scientific phenomenon called the kindling desensitization effect. And what the kindling desensitization effect is the amount of stress that basically has to be incurred before somebody develops their first depressive or manic episode is often big. It's a lot. It's a big transition, something big. But every time somebody has a depressive episode or a manic episode, the brain literally makes it more sensitized to have another one. And the stressor to develop the second depressive or manic episode doesn't have to be as big as the stressor from the first one. And then every recurrent depressive or manic episode, the stressor can literally be, I mean, can be, you know, that the sun went down at a certain time or the mail was late. I mean, and I'm not being facetious. I mean, I've had patients where they just get thrown by just things that are not big transitions anymore. So the importance of getting treatment, of psychopharmacological treatment for the bipolar brain, is really preventing that desensitization effect from happening, because it does get to a place where people can be so debilitated because they literally, I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've heard from patients of mine, I just don't know how to live in the world. Like, I just don't feel I'm made for the world, because they feel literally assaulted by when they're in the throes of a depressive or manic episode. They feel assaulted by just life, all the sort of simple things in life, which is different than, you know, you might hear from people with ADHD who say, you know, I don't know how people function in the world because they're struggling with executive functioning deficits, but they don't feel this sort of assault, you know, in that way. Like, I don't hear from my ADHD patients. They might say, this is hard or this is frustrating or, you know, I don't know how people sort of do it that way. My bipolar patients, it's almost like they want to crawl under a rock and they literally feel scared of life, very, very scared of life in that way. And not because they're particular failures that they're having. It's, again, this sort of internal feeling that they have. So it's very, very important to get treatment as quickly as possible.
And I want to touch base on treatment here in a second after the break, and I also want to kind of lay out, like, I've learned a lot here, and I've just got I have two ahas while you're talking. We could go to break real quick. Everybody, if you want to learn more about or you want to contact Roberto Olivardi, go to his email or send him an email at Roberto, R-O-B-E-R-T-O, _ Olivardi, O-L-I-V-A-R-D-I-A, @hms.harvard.edu. And with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You can't go off to college with them, but we can. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more how an EDGE coach can help your student reach their full potential. You can also call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE and get a free college success guide.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Focus on the wrong thing, get the wrong solution, misunderstand attention, and you'll struggle with it. Get 5 key tips and insights on managing ADHD learned from conducting more than 300 interviews with attention experts. Download the ebook today at attentiontalknetwork.com and start managing your attention today. And now,
welcome back, everybody, to this incredible interview with Dr. Olivardia. God, he's just one of my favorites. I learned so much from him. I'm not even going to summarize the two before this, but I want to lay this on you, Dr. Olivardia, because as I've been listening to you, and I've been thinking about the system.
Mm-hmm.
The system is baked. It's this kind of process. And so, intuitively, I'm just thinking, okay, so you got 50% of people with bipolar have ADHD. So they're born, and the ADHD starts to show up, and the teacher says, you know, maybe you should have Johnny checked out. So you walk in, and there's a diagnosis by maybe the pediatrician or somebody who does that. Okay, the child's got ADHD, so you get the diagnosis. And so the child's going through late, and maybe they're messing with stimulant medications, and maybe they work, and maybe they don't, which we'll come to in a second, because I'll need you to comment on that. But, you know, one of the things that kind of cracks me up is they talk about how stimulants only work for about 80% of the population. I always wonder, is the 20% that it doesn't work for, is it because they got something else? But that's another conversation. So they're cruising along, and they're a senior in high school. And they have a major breakup and they go to college, or they make it into their 20s, because you talked about if you have ADHD, the bipolar is the trigger's earlier, so it's an earlier onset. So you have this thing that happens, but you've been carrying this diagnosis of ADHD for many, many years, and maybe they're even trying to treat you with stimulant medications, which I'm not so sure, you can tell me about that in a second, I'm not so sure that actually probably makes the bipolar worse, but all of a sudden there's this trigger that happens, and now we have this second condition that is beginning to manifest, and we don't know what's going on. I mean, we've got ADHD, and we're focused on ADHD. I mean, nobody's kind of pausing and thinking about that, because that's what the diagnosis has been. And so I'm beginning to wonder, is if you've got 50% of the people with bipolar have ADHD, it's easy to misdiagnose because the system is baked into catching the ADHD first. The bipolar shows up later, and everybody has no idea what's going on because they're not looking for it.
Absolutely, definitely. And having said that, I should also say I have seen children with bipolar disorder, children as young as 8 or 9 who do have those bipolar symptoms. And I would also say too that a lot of times the teens or the adults that I've worked with who I have diagnosed with bipolar disorder, interestingly, when they were kids with ADHD, they were also sometimes diagnosed with an oppositional defiant disorder or a conduct disorder, which probably was a precursor to the bipolar disorder. So even how we think of diagnoses, something like ODD, I mean, when I had a patient some time ago who he was diagnosed as oppositional defiant as a child, and when I really kind of went in there and talked to him and talked to his parents, they would describe that the oppositional defiance was not a consistent thing, that in fact that was if it was episodic in nature, that after the tantrums, I mean, the kid would literally break furniture. I mean, if by the slightest sort of emotional sort of provocation, I mean, smash chairs and break dishes, and but then afterwards be like a puddle of tears in complete remorse and regret. And that to me is a real mood dysregulation. I mean, and I think that he was caught as well. He's breaking the rules and sort of all of the symptomatology of oppositional defiant disorder. But we need to really think about this, when we're looking at these kind of diagnoses, because when I have children that I work with and young people who have those kind of reactions, because one of the big differences between an ADHD emotional dysregulation and a bipolar dysregulation is with the ADHD, in a nutshell, the ADHD dysregulation is very context specific. So if you have somebody who, a child who wants a toy, they're not going to get a toy, they have a tantrum, but even within that tantrum, it's not going to last for a long period of time. If the parent even negotiates a little bit, the kid can be redirected, can be soothed. What I hear from the parents I work with who have children who have these mood disorders is these 2 to 3 hour rages that just go on and on, and it's almost like, and it's scary, it's disturbing. And so a lot of times, there's this phrase that says you kind of know it when you see it, and mm-hmm. that's one of these things that parents, it's very important for people, mental health providers, physicians, to listen to parents, because when I talk to these parents and they say, yes, I told the doctor that I was scared. You don't really hear that so much from the ADHD parents. You'll hear that they're frustrated. They want to pull their hair out. Mm-hmm. Their kid's tantruming. They're impulsive, but they're not disturbed. I don't hear that from my ADHD parents. I hear mm-hmm. that from the mood disorder parents who say, I'm scared that this
Yep.
this kid, like, literally they're out of their minds. So when you're raging for 3 hours over something that isn't even within a context, even if it was within a context, it's still way over the line of intensity. But a lot of times with these kids or these adults, there's no context. They wake up feeling this way. Like there's no,
yep,
and that's
yep.
one of the big hallmark differences. But it is. It's very, very, and then the episodic nature, with bipolar disorder, you'll often see, and one of the first things I do with patients is really work at tracking when these depressive and manic episodes happen. And 60 to 70% of the time, you'll see a pattern. You'll see
yep.
a pattern, whether it's every 3 weeks, suddenly you see the up. With a lot of women that I work with who are bipolar, we track their menstrual cycles because there
yep.
is a correlation between when they might hit a depressive or manic episode. But absolutely, I mean, what you said is also
yep.
true in terms of medication. I mean, stimulants often do make bipolar disorder worse. And so when somebody does have both, or when someone doesn't even have ADHD, they just have bipolar disorder, that's now making the bipolar disorder worse. So, and in general, I have found that one of the things that I sort of see is what I really intend to do, and what I always do when I talk at conferences, is really trying to bring together, what we know about ADHD and what we know about all these sort of clinical disorders. So it's not unusual at the CHAD conferences I'll talk about ADHD and OCD and ADHD and bipolar, ADHD and eating disorders, because I found that a lot of people who work in these sort of clinical fields of bipolar illness and depression and OCD don't know a lot about ADHD. And many people who work in the ADHD field don't really know a lot about these clinical disorders. And I think it's very important because, to your point, there is a reason that a lot of percentage of people with ADHD don't respond to medication, because most people with ADHD have a comorbid condition. The majority of people with ADHD have an anxiety disorder or a mood disorder or sort of some addictive issue. We know that 50 to 60% of them have a learning disability. I mean, so all of that makes total sense to me, that why certain medications are just not going to work for some people.
So I'm as you're saying this, I'm kind of like, I'm thinking, who's listening to this show? And I see coaches listening to the show. We know we have some psychologists out there. We've had a couple. What's fascinating to me is the pharmacists that listen to the show. I get mail in every once in a while. But the more I'm thinking about this, Dr. Olivaria, the person that's confused by it all, where it's just not working, because, again, I go back to, if you have ADHD and bipolar, the ADHD presents itself earlier, and it's early diagnosed, and you begin to treat that, but the bipolar trigger shows up later, it's going to be missed. Because we did an interview years ago with Dan Simon, and he co-wrote the book The Invisible Gorilla with, and I forget the guy, he's a Harvard guy, got a Nobel Prize for this thing. And if you go to YouTube and type in attention awareness test, you're going to watch a video and you're going to do something. You're going to miss something that's very obvious. And as I say, they're going to tell you to focus your attention on one thing, and that
I've seen that video.
Is going to make you completely blind to the obvious. So you're looking for what you're looking for, and you don't see something that's very obvious. So if this is happening and you have bipolar, it shows up later. And I can really see how, if you're not with somebody who is looking for the stuff, because you're dealing with the behavioral stuff, 10, 15 years, 20 years can pass when you have both conditions and nobody picks up on it until you have a suicide attempt. And I think you had talked about the suicide attempts. If you have bipolar, it's like 50%. But if you have ADHD and bipolar, I think you said it's like 80 or 90% of people who actually...
It's even higher. Yes.
That's phenomenal. And part of coming on the show is I never realized this correlation was so strong. And if you've got somebody, I mean, I can just see the system missing these people left and right because there's not an education out there, because we're still dealing with behavioral symptoms, and you diagnose that the kid's 14, he's got ADHD, and blah, blah, and all of a sudden the trigger happens, and this shows up later, and nobody knows what to do, and it takes 10 years for anybody to recognize it until it's something drastic, which is why email Dr. Olivaria. But the more I'm talking about this, the more I'm sensing the system is predetermined to miss this crowd because of the sequences in which this unfolds. Does that make sense to you?
Oh, it makes perfect sense. And also, too, I mean, again, with bipolar disorder, many people with bipolar disorder present in a subclinical manner. So, you know, again, when I'm talking about depressive episodes, hypomanic, manic, you know, symptoms, you know, it's more obvious, let's say, if somebody is completely psychotic, you know, that this is something more than ADHD. But many patients that I work with, their bipolar symptoms are more subclinical. Like they, you know, they're moody, and people might think, oh, you're a bit moody, or you're really intense. Or, you know, it's almost like it might not have hit that kind of threshold where people are really alert to it. And so a lot of times it does get subsumed under either the ADHD or just subsumed under, oh, you're kind of just an intense personality, or you're hot and cold, or, you know, things like that. It's so important to really kind of assess. I mean, one of the other things that's so important is family history. When you have, you know, just like ADHD, bipolar illness is highly genetic. So when I have a patient that has bipolar disorder, someone in their family does. It could be a parent, it could be a sibling, it could be an uncle. And a lot of times too, I mean, when I've done family histories, and parents will say, you know, nobody that we know, you know, has bipolar, and this is, you know, their biological child. And then I'll ask, well, has anyone ever died of suicide? And they'll say, oh, well, you know, yes, we've actually had a couple members, you know, that have died of suicide. Well, these are people who are probably untreated bipolar disorder. Or yes, we had, you know, three family members that were institutionalized in the 50s, you know, and, you know, things like that, that, you know, again, a lot of people don't get diagnosed with it. The good news is that there's been more sort of, I think, coverage about it. I mean, certain celebrities like Catherine Zeta-Jones, teen sensation Demi Lovato, she has bipolar too.
Yep.
When, you know, these are, I mean, there's such, I get so happy, you know, when celebrities can talk about those kind of experiences and put a face at the, you know, you can, it's not like you have to look quote unquote crazy,
yep.
which is what a lot
yep.
of people, I mean, the good news is that with treatment, you can lead a very functional life
yep.
with bipolar
yep.
disorder. I mean, it's not a death sentence. However, medication is, it's not negotiable. I mean, you have to take
yep.
medication.
Yep.
I mean,
yep.
because these symptoms can be so impairing.
Yep. And everybody, we're, when we set this show up, we already, unlike when I did the OCD show with him, and I'd like, oh my God, we got to do a second one. We know we're going to do two shows, so we're going to do another interview down the road. So be looking for the treatment when you actually have both, because it's a little interesting and tricky. But at the end of the day, this has been a very insightful show for me, Dr. Olivardia, because yes, you can have both. The incidents are much higher than I thought. This trigger thing is interesting to me because I can see how people miss it. And since it's still a diagnosis that's based off of symptoms, if you don't have somebody who understands the questions and say, let's talk about your family history, because if it doesn't show up as bipolar, but there's some suicides, that begins the clue for the investigation that says, hey, when you hear that, you go, oh, now all of a sudden I'm looking under a different lens, and I'm listening to, oh, did you have those emotions where the kid raged out of control, and now that's more significant to you because that's a marker to be in a better position to diagnose and deal with it. And so with all that said, we need to bring this to a close, but any final last words of wisdom or comments?
I would just say, you know, for people who either think that they might, you know, have these sort of symptoms, because, you know, one of the things that I'll hear from patients with ADHD is the ones who also have bipolar disorder is they'll say, you know, when I listen to other people with ADHD, I don't completely connect or relate. You know, they can relate to some aspects of it, but their experience is a little bit different in that regard. And it turns out because there is a different, there's a whole other, you know, there's a whole other dimension when you have a mood
mm-hmm.
disorder, you know, on top of that. So I tell, you know, I would just encourage people to just read up a little bit about it. I mean, certainly for people who are in the mental health or medical field who don't know much about either ADHD or bipolar disorder, just kind of read up about it and understand it. You know, watch YouTube videos of people who talk about their firsthand accounts because, again, you know, much of what people know about bipolar disorder culturally are the bipolar 1, you know, clinical criteria threshold. But to learn more about bipolar 2, which, you know, we can maybe get into in our next conversation,
yep, yep.
And how that's very different than bipolar 1 and presents in a completely different way and in fact, actually often gets misdiagnosed even more as either an anxiety disorder or ADHD in this population. So just to, you know, read up a little bit about it and educate yourself about it.
And awareness is everything. Before I talked to you, I didn't even know there were two different bipolar disorders. And so that is an awareness in and of itself and that they present differently. So with that, everybody, we hope that you enjoyed tonight's show. Again, to learn, or actually, if you've got any questions, to contact Roberto Olivardi, go to roberto_olivardi@hmsharvard.edu. And with that, Roberto, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Absolutely. Always a pleasure, Jeff.
All right, everybody, catch us next week for another great edition of Attention Talk Radio. Take care.